If you have your copy of God's Word tonight, if you'll turn to Proverbs chapter 4, and we've been talking about guarding your heart, and we talked about transgressions and iniquities, and we talked about how that transgressions and iniquities come out of our will, out of our emotions, out of that core of who we are, and but we have to guard our heart. And our heart is the core of where we are. Now, when you start to preach on something, when you start preaching on it, how many know the devil's going to try to challenge what you've been preaching on? And, you know, I was driving down the road yesterday, and, you know, you'll notice I have notes everywhere. I got notes on little pieces of paper and stuff. Because sometimes I'll be driving down the road and God will give me something. And it's just, I ain't got the memory where I can hang on to it till I can get to a place where I can get a pen. So I have to pull over and write it down, or I have to run to my office, or I have to grab a sheet of paper and wherever I am, in a restaurant or whatever. And but I was just thinking, I was telling the Lord, I was praying for some people, and I was coming down the road and I was just thinking, praying, talking to the Lord about stuff. And I might have even been complaining a little bit, Mark, and just praying for God to deal with some situations or take some situations. And I said, Lord, you know, I feel this way or I think this way. And I was just kept talking and I kept saying, Lord, you know, help my heart, you know. And he just reminded me. He said, now, you're preaching on it. What'd you expect, right? And when you start to preach on something, or when you start to make a commitment to live a certain way, how many know the enemy's just going to step up and try to challenge that truth in your life? Immediately, he does not wait. Because he don't want that truth to what? To take seed in your heart. So when you receive something from God, or when you get something from God, or you get a revelation from God, and if you're in church and you get a revelation from God about your life, and you step up and make a commitment to change that area of your life, or make a commitment to move forward in that area of your life, I guarantee you the enemy is going to do everything he can to choke that seed out of you, to get that deposit that God made in your life and pull that out of you before what? Before it can take root down in your life. Because he knows if it gets root into your life and it begins to grow and it becomes a truth in your life, then all of a sudden you become a deadly weapon to the forces of hell because you've gotten a revelation of something that has changed your life. And so it's the devil's job to try to keep us stagnant in our life. I don't know if the devil minds too much that we go to church, really, to be honest with you. But what he doesn't want us to do is he doesn't want us to grow in God. He doesn't want us to have an influence in God. He doesn't want us to have an influence on our community or begin to change people or begin to influence where we are. And so we've been talking about guarding your heart. And it seems like this week I've had every challenge in the world to allow my heart to go places that I don't want my heart to go. And since I've been preaching on it, I guess I'm going to be challenged by it. But that's how it works, how the enemy works. But thank God that we can, even though he challenges us, he is still defeated. And he has no power over us when we yield to the presence of God. So Proverbs chapter 4, I want to read verse 23. And then we're going to move over to Matthew chapter 13 for a couple of verses. And I'm just going to kind of let God have his way here tonight. You know, the last few weeks in preaching, it's just been amazing how God has just kind of just, I can't even explain it. I feel so in the will of God in ministering and preaching. And I've always prayed, God, I always want the right word for this church. The right word for your people. Encourage your people. And I know, you know, I get so passionate sometimes I come across like I'm angry. You know, like I'm mad when I'm preaching. And I'm not mad, I'm just excited. So y'all just remember that. So when you're with a visitor and they look like I'm terrifying them to death, just look over to them and just say, hey, he's not mad, he's just excited, he's just happy. And that may calm some of them down. But you get so passionate about something that's in your heart. And I just feel so passionate the last few weeks because I really feel like God is doing something in the midst of this church. And in the midst, and it's like, how many know you could have so much that the enemy could be attacking from every side, but it's like when you walk through the midst of that thing, and there may be trial, there may be difficulty, and people may be walking through some stuff. It just seems like that's when God works. You know he's working. You know he's in the midst of it. And I feel that. I feel that God is working in our hearts and working in our church and working in me and working in you. And the enemy will do everything he can to bring division, to divide, to keep the word of God and to keep the purpose that we have from being fulfilled in our lives. And he'll do anything that he can to bring division to that. And so in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs what? The issues of life." Out of it springs the issues of life. And we talked about guard your heart. It means to build a blockade. It means to build to hide or to protect your heart. In other words, keep. Build a blockade. Guard. Because out of it springs the issues of life. And the word issues is a word that means germinate. That which is germinated, or that which has been planted, or the fruit of, or the produce of. So guard your heart, because out of it comes the fruit, or comes the produce of what's been planted in your heart. And so we have to guard it. And so we have to realize that sometimes the only way we can fix our lives is to fix our heart. To get our lives back in order is to fix our heart, because out of it flows the issues of life. So if you have a pure heart, then you'll have a pure life, right? If you have peace in your heart, you'll have a peaceful life. If you have joy in your heart, you'll have a joyful life, right? If you have bitterness in your heart, you'll have a bitter life. And so God wants us to guard our hearts. Matthew chapter 13, and we talked a little bit about this Sunday, and I've been in this chapter for a couple of weeks. And we've talked a little bit about Jesus began to speak in parables, and the disciples became concerned because it seemed like he had veiled it. They had asked him why he had veiled it. And he had told them that he had veiled it from them. He said, "But it's been given to you to know the mysteries of God and the kingdom." And so he veiled it from them on purpose. And he only reveals it to those whom pursue him. Those who are disciples, not those that are in the crowd or those that are part of the multitude. Now, we know Jesus loves everybody, right? And he loves everyone. We all can say that. We all know that. But we all know that not everybody loves Jesus the same. And because of that, the kingdom that is the kingdom. In other words, he's laid it back into our lap. It's not so much that Jesus loves you, but if you want to get from God, it's how much you love Jesus. And so there are people who love Jesus differently or in a different degree. They don't pursue Christ or pursue Jesus. So he's talking about them, about the matters of the heart, the kingdom principles of the heart. And so when you read this chapter and you read the scripture, and what you realize is this, is that you realize when it comes to the kingdom, there is the us's and then there's them. And that's exactly what it is. There's the us's and them. The us's are those who seek out the mysteries of God, those who are disciples, those who want to be disciples, those who seek out Jesus. And the them are those who are just part of the crowd. They're just there for the fishes and the loaves. They're not there to be disciple. They're just there just because they like the atmosphere, or they just want to say that they've been a part of that crowd or been around that crowd, but they don't have an interest in being discipled or an interest in getting to know Jesus on an intimate level. I don't know about you tonight, but I want to get to know Jesus on an intimate level in my life. So I want to be hungry for God. And so in verses 18 and 19, it talks about the wayside Christian. Verse 20 talks about the shallow Christian. And then verse 22 talks about the distracted Christian. You know, all of them are Christians, but they had different harvests. It went on to say that some reaped 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. In other words, the seed that was produced in them, they all had different harvests based on the seed that was in them, but it wasn't necessarily the soil because the soil was unchanged. So what affected the growth had to be that which was in the seed, or that which allowed the seed to grow. And so when you think about it, our heart is that way. Our heart is the place where God deposits His truth. And our harvest, the harvest that we have in our life, depends on how we've received that truth, how we've lived that truth out. And sometimes our harvests are different because our hearts are in different places. And but in the Lord's Prayer, it said what? It said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," right? So how many know God wants His kingdom in heaven to be manifested here on earth? God wants to take that which is spiritual and manifest it here, right? And He said, "Let thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." In other words, let His kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And so we talked about that. So we talked Sunday that you can't rejoice. Sometimes when we pray for the end result. But a lot of times we ought to rejoice when we get the seed or when we get the promise. And we talked about that if I gave Mark an apple seed, in other words, he's already got his apple tree, right? He just got to know how to plant it and how to care for it. He's already got it. And a lot of us, we have the promise of God. God has provided everything for us. It's right here, right? And so the seed, once it takes germinates in our hearts, we've already got the seed. We've already got the harvest. It's just a matter, can that thing grow in our heart? Can it be manifested in our lives? And so I begin to think about this. I begin to stir me and begin to think about, you know, Lord, why don't we have harvest like we should have harvest? And, you know, what happens is, as in the church, is that I was just thinking about this today. You know, sometimes we spend most of our time sometimes we spend most of our time as church folk, leaders, teachers, those who want to be disciples, we spend a lot of our time dealing with people who don't want to grow in the church. And what happens is we deal with people who don't want to grow. What happens is that sometimes a pastor will preach to the level, if it's an immature church, he's always got to preach shallow messages, Mark, right? He's always got to preach to on a shallow level because he knows that a lot of those people, part of that crowd that's there, doesn't really want to grow. So he's got to spend all his time preaching shallow messages that the seed never takes heart in them. And so that's always a shallow life. It's always a shallow word. It's always it's not anything that they can get a hold of and grow from, but it's always something that's shallow. They're always going around the same mountain, right? Come on, y'all help me tonight. Always got the same issue. Every 6 months, they're dealing with the same thing in their life. And it's because every time the seed is preached or released or something is taught or something is done or something has been doing in order to move things forward, they can't move forward because every time the seed falls in their heart, it's either fallen on shallow ground or it's fallen on wayside ground or it's fallen on ground that's stony ground or it's laying beside and being choked out by everything else around them. The thorns choke it out. And so the seed is bad. So we spend all of our time having to go back, right? Go back and continually try to bring people with us. Now, I'm preaching better than you're amening. Always trying to bring people with us who really don't want to go with us. They like being shallow. They like being stony ground. And so we spend a lot of our time doing that as church, and what happens is that the church never able to get anywhere. And what happens is everything is always veiled. Nothing is never falls on good soil. So we never have any revelation. We never have any harvest. We never have any good fruit There's never any thing that becomes out of what we do because we're always casting seed on shallow ground, wayside ground, thorny ground, and stony ground, and never ever gets to the good soil. And what happens is when it does get the good soil, the people that are mature get frustrated and they leave because they're tired of all the going back trying to drag people with you that don't want to go with you. So what do? They leave for another place, right? Because we can't grow up, right? Now, it's Wednesday night. I can preach like this on Wednesday night. I may not get away with it on Sunday morning, but I can on Wednesday night, right? Or Thursday night. I can't preach it like that on Wednesday either, so it doesn't matter. How many know what I'm talking about? Because here's the thing. Here's what modern day theology and modern day teaching tries to tell you. It tells you that you always got to be catering to the crowd and to the multitude. And the crowd and the multitude, the only reason they're there is because you're giving out fish and loaves. We got the right crowd tonight. Am I talking right? Because they'll come for the fish and loaves. Right, Mark? But when it comes down to sit down to let God begin for you to get in intimate with Jesus, right? For you to sit at the disciples' table where Jesus sees you face to face and he knows what's in your heart and he knows and he puts demand on your life. In other words, the fish and the loaves, they come free, right? They're the blessing. See, people around you can be blessed just because they hang around you because you're faithful, right? How many know people, your family are blessed? Some of them can be blessed. Your children can be blessed. Your friends can be blessed. And they get blessed because they hang around you and you're faithful. And the blessing that's on your life just kind of bleeds out over them. And they kind of like Ruth running out, picking up, gleaning in the field, and just taking what's left over. But some people are just happy with being with the leftovers, right? And so the church is always catering to the multitude and the crowd, and they never get down to the place to where they become disciples. And so, but a mature church, a church that's mature, says this. They say, we're going forward. We're stepping out in faith. If you want to go, you can go. If you don't want to go, you don't have to go. But let me tell you this. If you don't catch up, you're going to be left behind because we're going to be way out front. And there ain't going to be much for you to glean on. Because we've got to move forward. The church has got to move forward. We can't be going around the same mountain every year, every 2 years, every 6 months, fighting the same battle after the same battle. There has to be a time when we get mature in the things of God and move past the elementary things, as Paul said to the church at Corinth, and move on to what God has for us. In other words, our eyes have got to be on the vision that God has given us, and we've got to move toward that vision corporately. We've got to put that thing out there and head for it and be in agreement with it and walk forward in it as a church. And hopefully everybody will go with us. Hopefully everybody will get on board and be a part and be the finger or be the arm or be the hand or be the eyes or be the ears or whatever part of the body that God has required you to be, so that the whole body can move forward. Because the body don't go very fast if the leg is not in agreement with where the rest of the body's going. And so we can't be a crippled body. Right? And if God would give us a spiritual look at a lot of churches, could you imagine how crippled a lot of churches would look? Right? How deformed they might be. In other words, Most churches need a handicap tag on the front door, right? To let you know that they can park in the handicap spaces because they ain't interested in going very far. Well, we'll move on. That went over well. So we'll just move on to the next point. Heavenly things of the kingdom doesn't do any good if they remain in heaven. Right? The kingdom principles that God tells us that is available to us doesn't do us any good if they always remain in heaven. But the Bible says he has blessed us, what? And every spiritual blessing, where? In heavenly places. In other words, you can't go down to McDonald's, Mark, walk up to the counter and say, hey, God has blessed me. Can we work something out? I want a double cheeseburger, right? You can't just walk in and say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed by God. Hand me over a double cheeseburger and a fry. It doesn't work that way, right? I mean, you just can't. He has blessed me. Can we work something out? There's a lot of people like that, though. They're walking around saying they blessed, but they can't get a happy meal because they have no spiritual maturity at all. It just comes out, but there's no maturity. They've never pulled up into heavenly places and pulled down the spiritual truths that Jesus has set in heavenly places for us and pulled them down and brought them through our heart into the natural part of life. That's when it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God chooses the heart to be the vehicle in which he takes that which is spiritual, runs it through our heart to manifest in the natural in our lives. And so, a pure heart, a heart that's right with God, the heart of a man. Jesus said, my words are spirit. The Bible says God is spirit, right? Matter of fact, the Bible says in John that in the beginning was the Word. That was the name of Jesus in the beginning. He was the Word. And so the place of transfer of the supernatural, the spiritual to the natural, is the heart of man. In other words, it leaves heaven and it goes through the heart of man. What's it say? The issues of life, it's that which has been planted or that which is where the fruits of the Spirit come from, right? The fruits of the Spirit come from, they flow out of the heart, right? And so the issues of life, the things that have germinated in our hearts, the fruit of the Spirit, those things that has come out of our lives, guard your heart with all diligence, for it has the power to take the Spirit and make it natural in our lives. And so be careful what you allow to get in your heart, right? Because what you allow in your heart will begin to come through in the natural, whatever's in your heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth speaks. How many know the mouth always tattletales on you? How many know the tongue is a tattletale on you? Right? All you got to do is read Facebook. Huh? Come on now. Right? Just open up Facebook. They all nice at church. Right? They love you at church. They care about you. They got a smile. And they not saying nothing. But they get on Facebook and it tells you a whole new story about how they think about you and everybody else in their life. Why? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak, and the mouth will tattletale on you every time. And before you look back and think about what you've said, you've already said it. And it's told on you. You didn't even know why you said some things. But it just came out. Because why? Out of the heart flow the issues of life. That's what's been down in your heart. That's why if you don't like the things that are around your life or in your life, some of the things that surround you are there because they're in your heart first. They just manifested in your life later on. Ooh. Tell you what, if I was in a Pentecostal church tonight, they'd be running by now.
Amen.
Turn over to Proverbs chapter 22. I want to read you verse 6. Now, we all have quoted this scripture, but I saw this differently this week. The power of the heart of a man. Listen, it is so powerful. That is why when you were a child, the enemy did everything he could to corrupt your heart. That's why he tried to do everything to try to get you traumatized, horrified, to plant things in your life that were corrupt, that were immoral, to have you walk through some things. Because he knew if he could plant insecurity in your life, if he knew as a child he could plant abandonment and anger, a bitterness and abuse in your life as a young child and get that in your heart as a child, if he could get you to be violated and get you to walk through things as a child, he knows if he could plant that as a seed as a child, he'll know that as you grow up, what? That out of the heart, it comes, right? It manifests it. It's the soil of your life. And so if he can plant that in your heart, then there'll be a day when that stuff will manifest in your life. It'll come right out of your life. And it may have been deposited years ago as a child or years ago as a young person, but all of a sudden you're 40 now, you're 50 now, you're 60, and all of a sudden that which happened to you back in the day, right, now is being manifested in your life because we forgot to guard our hearts. And the enemy came in and sowed seed. And he violated our lives. And that's exactly, the heart pushes it out of you. And the heart was revealing and pushes it out and reveals what's already been. I was so disturbed this week. I saw on Facebook, on World News Today, they posted one of those little Islamic kids from ISIS. This was a video. They got one of those Yiddish Christians. And they had this boy that was 8, 9 years old, Mark. Tied this guy's hands behind his head and gave that 9-year-old, 8-year-old a sword in his hand. And he pulled back the head of that Christian man and tore off the head of that man, an 8, 9-year-old boy, teaching them to do things like that. Sowing that seed in that young child's life, in that boy's life at that age. And on the whole time, that young boy thinking that he's doing something right, thinking that he's defending something, thinking that he's doing something right, but the enemy has done nothing but got down into the seed of his heart. Now, what are they doing? I'll tell you what they're doing. That boy's 8 or 9, but when he gets 15 and 16, that which has been deposited to him as a kid is going to begin to manifest in his heart and push out through his life. And out of the heart flow what? The issues of life. It'll be what he is in a few years. It'll define him and it'll be what he is. And that's what the enemy has done to a lot of us as a child. Now, it brings me to this point. Do you don't think children's church is important? You don't think reaching the next generation is important? You don't think reaching the next generation is important where we'll just let them go and let them have their thing and we'll just leave them by themselves? Let me tell you, the devil doesn't think that. He'll get them as early as he can. He's working on getting them as early as he can. Why? Because he knows if he can plant seed now, he knows that in a few years that thing's going to grow and it's going to push up out through his life and it's going to manifest in his life. And people are going to go say, what in the world happened to that kid? Where did that come from? We haven't seen that in years. Well, just because you hadn't seen it growing doesn't mean it wasn't there. Doesn't mean it was deposited years ago. It's just now beginning to manifest in his life because somebody forgot to guard the heart of that young child. And now in his life he's manifesting what the enemy has planted as seed. That's right, preacher. You're preaching good. I'm with you. I'm telling y'all. Don't think that we have conquered. This generation needs some leaders in this generation. Needs some godly men. Think about it. My God, what's the scripture say in Proverbs 22:6? It says this. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, And when he is old, he will not depart from it. It's an interesting word. The word train there in the Hebrew, it's really the Hebrew root word. It means to dedicate. In other words, dedicate, the noun is that word, dedicate by words, by teaching words, manners, and habits. And then the verb of that is this. It means to, for someone to know or to perceive in their heart. In other words, point to understanding. When it says train a child up in the way, it means that you are to teach him by his words, manners, and his habits. And when that happens, he will know in his heart and have the ability to what? To perceive and to understand. Now that's good. And it says that we are to train them up. Now, and then it says, when he is old, it means to show age. It doesn't necessarily mean the old man. The analogy of it is this. The analogy is that once it's been taught and understood and perceived, that it doesn't matter the age of that child, whether he grows up to be 100 or 80 or 75, if he's been trained, if he's been dedicated, if he's been taught to words and manners and understanding, then it doesn't matter how old he gets, it'll always be there. And it can't be removed. And it means to dedicate or to train. And then the word, it says this, it will what? It'll not depart from him. It means it'll never be turned aside. You ever have something, and you take something, you just lay it aside like that. The word means it's always in front. Always in front. It can't be removed. It can't be blotted out. It'll never depart from them. It'll never leave. In other words, it means this. It means never to be left unfinished. Ha ha. Now think about that now. We got those kids back there. Your grandkids, my kids. It says train up a child in the way that he goes so that when he gets old, he will not depart from it. So this is what it means. You may say, well, my grandson's away from God. My son or my daughter's away from God. My children are away from God. They've walked out, but they've been trained, right? You've prayed over them. You've taught them. You've brought them to church. They know. But it may seem like to you, right, that everything's lost. But God's word says that when you dedicate or train a child, it doesn't matter how old he gets. He may try to put it off. He may try to ignore it. He may try to put it out of his mind. But there's always something reminding him that there is a God, that God lives and is alive. He can never blot it out. It'll always be there. And it doesn't matter how far he goes. David said, "Where can I go from your presence, O Lord? That you are not there." As a parent, we can be encouraged tonight. No matter how far they get away from God, we can just call on back in the day when they were trained and you put God in their heart. There's going to be a day when they can't hide from it and run from it. It'll always be before them. Ha, ha, ha. And that's what I mean. That's why it's important to train these kids up. Because I want to tell you, we train them up and lay this thing a seed. What we're doing, we're laying seed in their hearts. We're planting something. We're getting there before the devil gets there. And we're laying it in there. 70% of all high school students leave church after they graduate. Most of them never return until they're in their 30s. Isn't that an incredible way? But listen, they can go off and run off. But if we can get to every child, every grandchild, every kid in this city, if we can put some Jesus in them, share a little bit of the gospel, and sacrifice a little bit to make sure that the word of God is being preached inside of them, that they know that somebody loves them, somebody cares. When they get to the place someday where they're walking in a difficult place and they thought they knew what love was, they thought they knew what happiness was, and they thought they knew, all of a sudden they'll remember back like I did. When I remember back when my grandmother would lay beside the bed as a five-year-old boy and sing and pray over me, it was a memory that never left my life. And when I came to Jesus, it was that that pulled me back into truth. Huh? Ha, ha, ha. And here we, you think it's all about you. Ha, ha, ha. Right? If you think we built this building for you, you got something. You got another thing coming. You might as well find another church. Because I want to tell you, we built this thing for generation after generation after generation. Ha, ha, ha. We're just going to let you use it a while. We're just going to use it a while, right? Until the real men and women of God step up and begin to build this thing. Huh? Ha, ha, ha. That's right. That's right. Woo! Some of you may not see it, but think about the day. Just think about the day. Little Bo gets up here and talks about when he's a little boy running through the streets, through the halls of this church, and how God took care of him. And our little Clayton, little swag Clayton, gets up, talks about how cool he is. But he's even cooler now because he found Jesus and he's walking with God. Mom and Dad brought him to church. Train up a child in the way that she go, and it will not depart from him. It'll not leave him. That's why we got to pray for these kids. That's why we put so much into these kids. That's why we've got to focus on that. Listen, all of us need spiritually fed. All of us need to be discipled. All of us need to grow in God. All of us need to, but we get so discouraged. We think the devil, I want to tell you, God has a strategy for this generation. He has some Davids, and he has some men of God that are raising up. God wants to touch the young people of this area. And he'll use them. I'm believing he's going to use them. And that's why the devil has fought so hard. Listen, I look back on my life and I think why did the devil fight so hard? He fought so hard because he knew one day I'd be here preaching this message, and he didn't like the fact that I was going to be here. So he threw everything to hell, sink, the toilet, the whole house in my roadblock in my life to keep us from where? From being right where we are right now in God. The devil tried to keep you from serving God. Remember as a child the things the devil tried to throw in your way to keep you from growing up and serving God. Some of you didn't have nothing, didn't know nothing about God. But some Sunday school teacher, some Bible school teacher, somebody had a little bit of glimpse to love you like Jesus loved you. And all of a sudden, look where you are today. But you know the devil has fought like hell to keep you from serving God. That shows that God has got a plan for your life. And I'm telling you right now, the devil's shaking and he's hemorrhaging right now. Why? Because we're exposing who he is and exposing what he does. And it's happening around you, and somewhere, if it's happening around you, then somehow, some way it's gotten in you. And so guard your heart. The heart is a powerful thing, very powerful thing that's in our life. Paul said it like this. There are some who have planted, some who have watered, but God brings the increase, right? Listen, some of y'all out trying to chase your family, chase your neighbors, chase your kids, and you've watered, some have planted, some have watered, but what does it say? Who brings the increase? God does. God brings the increase in our life. It means to cause to become greater. Is what the word means. It means to grow from the inherent of a teacher. In other words, God brings the increase into our lives. Some plant, some water, but God is the one that brings increase into our life. And so you're here tonight, and some of us, the bad issues of our life that have come out of our life, when we begin to guard our heart, something new is going to begin to take place in our lives, in our hearts. And so And we can hand our hearts over to God. And when we hand our hearts over to God and become good soil, then God can bring increase into our lives. Because when God cleans your heart, your heart will tell you what needs to be in it. Right? David said it like this. He said, "Lord, create in me a clean heart and a right spirit within me." In other words, flush me out, oh God. Flush me out. And when you guard your heart and you allow your heart to be protected, all of a sudden, you know, you won't need to listen to certain things anymore. Your heart and Holy Spirit will tell you that you don't need to watch certain things anymore. Right? Your heart gets right, you won't have to sit and talk about certain things anymore because your heart will be right and you don't want to talk about those things anymore. In other words, you have to say, "Devil, you're not getting into my vineyard. You're not getting into my garden. You're not getting in the place to where you can affect me and where you can change me." In other words, you can't dismiss that voice. Listen to that voice that's telling you that's not good for you. That's not right for you. That's the Holy Spirit dealing with you. You can't allow that into your heart. You can't allow that to take root into your heart. You can't allow those things to get down inside of you to keep you from where God wants you, because that's what the devil wants to do. And I want the Holy Ghost to talk to me, right? How many want the Holy Ghost to talk to them? How many know your heart has to be right? You have to keep a purity about your heart in order for the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you in your life. You have to mark that territory off in your life. And people dropping seeds in your garden, it ain't got no business dropping seeds in your garden. And you've got to remove yourself from that. I like how David said it in the King James, "Cast me not away from your presence, O God. Take not your Holy Spirit from me, but restore to me the joy of my salvation and renew a right spirit in me." In other words, I don't have to live life under the foot of my life, but I can have my foot on my life and control my life. And so, look at Proverbs there. Chapter 3, I'm going to close here in just a second, just one more point. Proverbs chapter 4, look what it says. Go back up to verse 20. You say, "Well, how does it get to my heart? How do I allow things to get to my heart?" In verse 20 of chapter 4, the Bible says this, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your" what? "From your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and help to all their flesh." And then look down to verse 24. "Put away from you a deceitful mouth," woo-hoo, "and a perverse lips far from you." Woo! My Lord, that's strong, isn't it? "Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established." In other words, what it's saying there is this. You think about it. The job of the soil is to take the seed and allow the seed to grow and then push it into life. And so the soil, no matter what seed you put in it, the soil is always neutral. The ground is always neutral. The heart is always neutral. It will produce growth in whatever you put in it. So the heart doesn't determine the identity of what's going to grow. The heart only allows what you put in it to grow. So the heart is neutral. And so when seed is deposited into our heart, all of a sudden that heart, it produces life. And the heart is neutral ground. But the way that things get into our heart is through our eyes, right? What did it say? "Keep your eyes on my word ever before you, that it may" what? "That it may get down in your hearts." Our ears, what we hear. What's it say? "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God," right? Our hearing, what we see. And then it says in verse 24, it says, "By our mouth." Put away a deceitful mouth. Quit letting people talk to you who don't need to be accessing your garden. Right? In other words, that's critical. Guard the gate of your heart. Guard the gates of your heart. Guard the gates of your life. Guard the entrance ways in which the enemy tries to plant seed into your life that affects your heart. The reason why so many Christians walk around confused is because they come to church and they hear preaching one way, right? And they leave here and they entertain things that bring confusion into their hearts. And all of a sudden they got things down in them and nothing can grow because they allow things to get through the gate of their life and the gate of their garden that affects the way that they grow in God. And so we're to protect the gates, the entryway to our hearts and protect our hearts. For God has made it a place where He wants to deposit His seed into our lives so that we can grow in God. And so God wants us to have pure hearts. He wants our hearts to be clean. He wants our hearts to be available that He can deposit truth into our hearts so that we can grow and mature in the things of God. How many want to grow in God, mature in God? And that's what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is telling the disciples, look, a lot of these truths, I have veiled the crowd because it always falls on stony ground. It always falls on shallow ground. It always falls on wayside ground. It always falls on thorny ground. But if you're my disciple and you'll come a little bit closer, you'll step into the place of intimacy with me, I'll begin to unveil and begin to reveal truth to you that's not available to some people. You know, that's why some people grow in God and people look at them and go, my goodness, how did he get to where he's at? I'm not getting anywhere. Maybe it's because the gate to your heart has been violated, or the gate to your heart has not been the place where good soil is, and they're moving forward in God. And so we've got to guard our hearts. We've got to build a blockade. We've got to hide behind in order that our hearts would be pure. Hallelujah. Mark, would you come tonight? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. That chapter ends. He tells the last of that parable in the chapter, and it says a man went out to sow, and he said he sowed seed into the field. And he said, while he slept, an enemy came in and sowed tares. The word tares mean undesirable things. And you know, there are some things in our life that we got from Adam. They're just the tares of our spiritual life. We can't help it. We were just born that way. Right? We were just born that way. I had a conversation with a homosexual one time. And he said, I was born that way. I said, you're right, you were born that way. Because the Bible says that he is in sin is of Adam. In other words, we're all born that way, right? We're all born into sin. We're all born into iniquity. So in a sense, he was born that way. But he chose to be like he is. He had the right to choose to be what he wanted to be. He had the right to choose whether to give in to that thing or whether to let God deal with the Adam that is in us. Deliver us. And so sometimes, because of our nature, a lot of things in our garden's got to grow beside tares. But what did it say? Did the man say, go and tear up the tares? He said, no, wait till when? Wait till the coming. And when the harvest comes, then the wheat will be separated from the tares. A lot of times, if we'll just wait, listen, when Jesus comes, it's all going to be settled. It's all going to be wound down. It's all going to be separated. And when we see Him, we shall be as He is, right? Stand with me tonight. And let's just close in prayer. And just close in just asking God. Let's pray this prayer together tonight. Asking God to clear our hearts.
Yes, Lord.
To open our hearts and have the right spirit.
Thank you.
have a right heart towards God, towards God's kingdom, and towards the things of God. Father, we ask you tonight, God, that you'll purify our hearts, oh God.
Yes, Lord.
Forgive us of our sins, God. Forgive us of our failures, God. Forgive us of the shortcomings that come in our lives, God. And I pray, Father, that you'll help us not to allow our hearts to be places that the enemy can sow bad seed in. That, God, that we'll guard our hearts. That we'll guard our hearts so that the issues of life, those things that spring out of us, the fruit that comes out of us, has been guarded, and we know that it's good seed. God, we pray that you'll protect us tonight through the gateways to our heart. Lord, let my eyes be fixed on you, who is the author and finisher of our faith. May my eyes be turned away from wickedness and turned away from ungodly things. May my eyes shun things that disturb my heart or that brings division in my heart. May my eyes turn away from those things. God, I pray that my ears only hear what you speak. I will not entertain gossip, and I will not entertain negativity. I will not let others speak destiny over me that's contrary to what you have spoken over me and the promise that you've given to my life. I will not fulfill the prophecy of negative people that have spoken into my life, that have called me this or called me that, or said I will never be successful or I'll never achieve, but I denounce that right now over people's lives.
Yes,
guard
Lord.
The hearing of our ear, Lord. Let us hear by faith and walk by faith, oh God. Protect our ears, God, from hearing the things that would bring division and destruction. And I pray right now, God, people that use gossip and use backbiting and use things to bring discouragement into people's life, I pray that you'll shut that down now in Jesus' name. I pray that you'll pull that thing up from the root of that thing. It accomplishes nothing but to sow a seed into the heart that is nothing but bring distraction into people's lives. Let our ears hear your voice, hear the sweetness of your breath, the sweetness of your words, and the words of life may it come through our ears. Father, protect our mouths and the things that we say. May our mouths be mouthpieces that are used by you to bring glory to the kingdom
Thank
of
you, Lord.
God. I pray, Lord, that no wicked thing shall come from our tongue. I pray,
Lord.
Father, that only the thing that comes out of our tongue will be lifted up and guide and will help encourage the lives of other people. I will not speak wrongly of my brothers and sisters. I will speak nothing but blessing.
Thank
Even
you,
God, when they are wrong, I will hold my tongue and
Lord.
Allow you to fight the battles
Thank
of
you,
my
Lord.
Life.
Thank
I will
you.
Not fight my battles. For you, oh God, are our defender. For you protect us and watch over them. I will not answer my enemy, nor will I answer those
Thank
who
you,
speak
Lord.
Ill will against me. But I will trust in the Lord and
Thank
put
you,
my
Lord.
Hope in you, oh God.
Woo.
And Father, I pray those things that are spoken negatively over us, that God, you would turn them around. And
yes,
that which they speak against me or speak against your people will be turned back on themselves and will be a self-fulfilling prophecy to their life, Lord. And may my tongue be worshipful. And may God, I be pure in heart, God, so that what comes out of my tongue is that which is in my heart. And I pray that my heart will always be good soil. Father, we're moving forward. We're stepping forward, oh God. And Father, we're going to move forward, God. And Father, we're just going to move forward as disciples, oh God. And if the crowd wants to come along, they can come.
Yes.
But if not, God, we pray that you'll change their heart.
Yes,
that they'll
Lord.
Be committed to you.
Yes, Lord.
To move toward what you have for our lives, oh God. Now, Father, we thank you. We thank you for River Valley.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
Father, our future is bright. Our future is bright. Our future is bright.
Yes,
we pray you make us a blessing to this community. You make us an encouragement to people's lives. We will not be Debbie Downers, God. We are going to work and be what you want us to be. Let us be the church that you've always intended us to be. And let us not be hindered in any way. Purify our hearts. Just take a moment, church. Would you just take a moment and say, and just begin to talk to the Lord. Ask him to forgive you of anything that's in your heart. Just kind of search yourself and say, God, created me a clean heart, oh God. Created me a clean heart, oh my God. That you might put a right spirit within me, oh God. Lord, put a right spirit in me. Cleanse me tonight. Purify my heart tonight. Put a right spirit. I forgive those who have hurt me. I forgive those that have wrongly accused me. Hurt me, God. I forgive them. Forgive me for those whom I've hurt, those whom I've spoken ill of, those who I've said things that I wish I could take back. God, I pray that you'll forgive me, God. Forgive me things that my eyes have seen that you have not desired me to see. Forgive me of the things I heard that I've entertained through my ears that I know God had got into my heart that you did not intend to be in my heart. Just protect us and watch over us, Lord God. Father, we reach our hands back to those children and children's church and every child you've given us, that we may train that child up in the way that they should go, so that when they become of old age, they will not depart from you, oh God. We thank you, Father.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.